Thank you, Johnny boy. I did not write any of that. Except for the bit about, come on people, let's get it sorted. And that's where my upbringing, my father was the headmaster, and I left there and joined a number force, which is the New Zealand Defence Force. But anyway, I'll bring that into my story. I did think my story is about dumb shit, what now? And I'm sure we've all done it in our life, where we're, especially in our youth, but for me it carried on into adulthood, to present day. But I wondered whether I should tell this story, and it's something that you'd probably share with your friends or family. I thought, no, I'll give it a go. And I was walking down Hardy Street, and I bumped into a couple of young ladies who are here tonight, I believe, and they said, oh, I'll see you tomorrow night. And I went, well, for what? And they said, couch stories. I went, oh, shit. And I said, can I tell you what I'm thinking about talking about? And I told the story just once over lightly, and they said, tell it. Okay, it's not a particularly, it's not a proud moment in my life, but I'm going to do it. It's called A Police Chase, Being Shot At by the Police, and I Lost My Bonus. Okay, so that's the story. So it's Vermont, 1987, it's July the 4th, and I do remember that day because that's when the shit went down. And I was working on a summer camp in America, Camp Billings in up in Vermont, and a second year I'd worked there, and I was a sailing instructor. I could have done that job 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the rest of my life. It was great. But on July the 4th, we pack all the kids into buses and vans, and we take them down to Dartmouth, which is about 30 minutes down the road, university campus, do a big fireworks display. And I remember there was a guy with a snake around his neck, and that's when I fell in love with snakes, but that's a separate story, which I've told before at one of these couch stories. But and on the way, I was in a car, and I had three other counsellors. So I was 21, 22, and I had three other instructors who were the same age as me, three Americans. And I was driving back to the camp, and we're just about back to the camp. We came through Wright River Junction, past Peabody Library, when we turned right. That's about a mile and a half down to the camp. And I think it was 30 miles an hour, 35. I was probably doing 40, 45. And coming towards me is another set of headlights. And the road is very narrow. So there's the burn from where the road finished on my side was about a foot of grass and a fence, and we're in the country. And coming towards me, and I was speeding, and suddenly the flashing lights come on. And I'm going, oh, here we go. And the American guys, it's time to pull over. And as I got closer and closer, what I realised is this policeman would have to go back about half a mile to a mile to go back because he couldn't turn on the road. So picture that. And then I go back 3 years when I was in the army. And I was in the Royal New Zealand Corps of Transport, and I got asked by our commanding officer, do you want to drive a brigadier? And it's a really perky job. You get your own car, you get to take it home, you pick up the brigadier, you put the flag on, and he's got stars, and you drive him around. And hopefully it wouldn't be too much weekend work. To do that job, you have to do 1 week of security course just out of Palmerston North at Manfield, which is a race course where the cars race around. You go down for 5 days. The first day is in the classroom. The second day is racing in a car, getting used to the track and as fast as you can. That afternoon, they then put a police car behind you and they chase you as fast as they can. Day three, they put two police cars with guns and they chase you around and they're shooting at you. And you learn all the procedures about when you put a VIP in the car. It's usually on the pavement side. Never walk in front of the car. You always walk behind it, getting in and out. And it was pretty intense. Day four, you had to look for bombs underneath your car. And the common bomb in those days was a mercury bomb. It's easy to fit to the fuel tank, easy to make. And as the vehicle moves off, the mercury moves and the connection happens. So you had to do all that sort of stuff. Why we had to do that, there's no way I was going to touch that bomb if it was alive. And the last day was where they would do roadblocks. And it was getting pretty intense. And it was an intense course. And I think back on it, it was a lot of fun. It's like Boy Scouts. But at the time... So back in Vermont, police car's got his flashing lights going, and for some reason, my two brain cells had a chat. The one on the right said, I think it's time to stop. The three Americans are screaming at me to stop. The one on the left goes, this could be fun. This could be fun. You've had the training. Let's go. And I went. So we took off, and sure enough, he had to go back, and all that training came in. I'm being chased by the police in New Zealand. And I took off, and it was about another half a mile to the camp. And the road would end. It was a straight road, zigzag round on Lake Fairley and into the camp. And sure enough, you turn around, I can see one in the distance flashing. I thought, I've got about 20, 30 seconds head on this guy. And he turned up the camp, turned right into the camp, and pulled up underneath these pine trees. And the thing is, you never touch the brakes because the lights go off. So we were taught to put the handbrake on, so no lights come on the back. So, you know, left brain cell's working well. Left brain cell's working well. Right's really disappointed. And the guys immediately want to get out of the car. I said, don't get out of the car because the lights will come on. Stay in the car. And anyway, the car, sure enough, 20 seconds later, the car, and it was a state trooper, two cops, the deputy doodahs, the local cops. You do not mess with state troopers. And these Americans couldn't believe what was going on. Anyway, the cop went past. They want to get out. Has gone past. Said, no, stay in the car until we don't hear the siren anymore. They got out of the car and disappeared into the bush back to their cabins. Now, the adrenaline is pumping 1,000 miles an hour, and you get really thirsty. So I said, everyone's in bed, I'll go back to the dining area, into the kitchen, and get a glass of whatever. So I'm walking across there, and what I didn't realise, there's a huge rock looking over the lake, and there's a little bus seat thing there. I'm walking across there, and I hear this, evening, Simon. And I look to my right, and it's Ralph Lawrence, the camp director, who'd sat there and watched the whole thing happen and fold in front of him. I go, evening, Ralph. And he said, where are you going? Where are you going? I didn't do the American accent as well as someone else who was here talking earlier. But I said, I'm just going to get a glass of water. He said, I don't think so. Go to bed. So I start to walk away. And I've worked there before, and each year you get a bonus at the end of it because they don't pay you much. And I go to walk away, and I go back, and I go, Ralph, so no chance of a bonus this year? He says, no. And that was my what now moment. Thank you.